we're going to talk about your time with Tranmere and also the likes of Palace and QPR and a bit later on. But let's just talk about the present day, first of all. You've just left Rangers, as in Glasgow Rangers. How disappointing was that for you to leave?
Oh, obviously, I mean, when you get the chance to play for such a big club, especially towards the latter stages of my career, shall we say, it's always a wrench to leave, to leave that kind of place. The environment's very special. The stadium's unbelievable. The fans are passionate. Yeah, so to leave that kind of environment was a bit upsetting, yeah.
Was it like nowhere else you've played before, you know, in terms of Ibrox? Because as you say, I mean, they've been in the doldrums, haven't they, for various reasons, but to be back in the Scottish Premier League and all that kind of thing again,
I mean,
now.
There's 52,000 every other week. And even when you go away from home, they fill three stands away from home. So it's like playing at home, away from home. And the expectation is massive. No matter where the club's been the last few years, the demand is still to win trophies. And that will never, ever finish. So it was a very, very, very good experience for me. And obviously, a bit upset to leave, but it was a great chapter in my career.
And knowing the rivalry, as we all do, with Celtic, are they constantly reminding you that you need to knock Celtic off their perch?
Oh, listen, I mean, when I went there last year, I mean, obviously, they've been out the top division for 4 or 5 years, but just walking around the city then, they wanted to win the league straight away. And when you consider where they have been for the last 4 years, that expectation to win the league, it was massive. And they'll demand again this season, for sure.
There were six Old Firm derbies last season.
Didn't win one, thank you.
You played in four of them. I mean, what are they like to play in?
Oh, just nothing like you can ever explain. I mean, I've been lucky enough to play in some big derbies, you know, QPR, Chelsea, teams like that. But this was, especially going to Parkhead, places like this, 60-odd thousand people who don't like you very much, to be polite. So to experience that kind of atmosphere, that expectation, was very unique. And obviously, to score and get a positive result there was always a nice memory to take away.
But if you're a Rangers player and you're stepping out onto the pitch at Celtic Park, how can you stop your legs from just turning to jelly in that kind of atmosphere?
You try not to think about it. It's as daft as it sounds. You try not to think about it. I mean, I used to speak to the kit man there a lot, and used to say there used to be some big, big European players who used to turn up for Rangers and just couldn't handle the Old Firm derby. There was a number of players who would last 20, 25 minutes and they'd have to drag them off.
Yeah.
So as weird as it sounds, you have to kind of take yourself away from the whole week build-up and just concentrate on the football as much as you can.
And because there are so many of them as well, I mean, six, that will be an alien concept to English football fans, because we normally get two. You might have a cup game possibly, but six. I mean, I guess familiarity breeds contempt as well. It's the old saying, isn't it, really?
And it tires you out. I'm not going to lie to you. When you get to the fifth or sixth derby, it's like, it drains you, because the expectation, the build-up, the pressure going into the games, the effort you put into the games, you know, you feel really tired after them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can only imagine what the fans feel like as well after all that.
Well, derby build-up in this city, as I'm sure you know, is massive, isn't it, in that week? It's that week before where everyone's talking about it. People are stopping players in the street or whatever, saying, you've got to win on Saturday, whatever you do. Is that the same as it is in Glasgow, really?
It's the life. Football is the life up there. Like you said there, it's very similar to the two cities. Two big football clubs, big rivalry, and they want to beat each other, and they want bragging rights on a Monday. So the pressure's there for sure, and they do let you know about that.
Yeah, I mean, they're already out of the Europa League, aren't they, Rangers?
But
you're glad you weren't involved in that, aren't you?
That was a disaster, wasn't it? I mean, when you think they've been waiting 6 years to get back into Europe, and I know the fans that they do take away from there, and to lose in the first round was it's nothing short of a disaster. Now the pressure's on to real kickstart for the season.
I mean, it's embarrassment, isn't it? I mean, how will they deal with that behind the scenes?
Well, they won't be happy. They won't be happy. The fans won't be happy for sure. But the new players going in there now they know the expectation of the football club, and now they know what the fans demand from them. So they need to hit the ground running when that season kicks off.
And they finished third last season, or you finished third last season.
Yeah.
Can they realistically have a shot at the title, do you think, this season? You can probably say a bit more independently now, really.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the expectation will be to win it, and that's just the way the club is. It's going to be hard because Celtic are a unique team up there. I think they're a few years ahead of anything up there. Brendan Rodgers has gone up and done a very good job. I think second is probably more likely, to be honest with you, and maybe if they can just turn that semi-finals or the finals into a win, maybe get a cup, I think that would be judged as a good success.
Do you think it does Scottish football no favours, Celtic being so far ahead of them? I mean, they were the Invincibles, weren't they? All that kind of thing. But we all like to, even if you're a die-hard Celtic fan, you surely want a bit more competition, don't you, really?
I mean, they wouldn't like to say, but I've spoke to a few Celtic fans, you know, and having a pint and that over the last few months, and I've said the same thing as you. Surely you want a bit of competition. You don't want to go to a game expecting to win 5 or 6-0. You want a decent game at the end of the day. And I think a few of them do. As much as they enjoy winning, I think they do want a bit more competition, definitely.
And of course they want the 10 in the row now, don't they?
Yeah, I know. everyone knows it's 9. I think they're both 9 each now, aren't they? So, yeah, they want 10. Obviously, let's hope not, because we want Rangers to try and break that.
Clint, you were a Red growing up, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Yeah, so still am, yeah.
Yeah, was the big dream, you know, always you wanted to play for Liverpool, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I think it's, well, most young Reds would love that chance to play out at Anfield. You know, I've been lucky enough to play there for different teams and walk out and sneak a little touch of the Anfield side and everything like that. But obviously that would have been the dream, but I've not done too bad considering.
When you were, what, did you get to go to Anfield much as a kid?
Yeah, I did. My dad used to take me on the Kop. I can remember him, I mean, just saying, just watch this fella here, Hansen, and people like that, you know, unbelievable players. And lucky enough, I was on the Kop when Ruddock scored the 3-3 against Man United, and just feel all that energy, you know,
nearly
from the Kop.
That
just made me even more a Red than ever.
Yeah. Oh, so you still, you know, you'd still go to the games if you can and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll try and take my boy as well, definitely.
Great stuff. And let's go back to where it all started at Tranmere then. I mean, I know you say you were a Red, but Tranmere is very close to your heart as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started then when I was 16. They gave me the chance to live the dream, shall I say, you know, to start out in professional football. They were very patient with me because I did test them a few times, I think, with certain disciplinary issues that I had.
Like what?
Well, there was a few red cards in there, if I'm not going to lie to you. But they were very patient with me, stood by me, and just give me the chance to progress.
How were you spotted?
I think I was playing for Merseyside Schools. I think Ronnie Taylor was the scout then for Tranmere, and he put me in touch with Warwick Rimmer, who's a legend at Tranmere with the amount of players that he's brought through there. And just went for a trial, and it just kicked off from there, really, so I was quite lucky.
And you sort of went through the youth system, as you mentioned there, Warwick. It was a very good youth system. Did you feel it gave you a really good grounding?
Yeah, you could see the pathway. You know, like I said, there was a number of players before me that came through that team. So you could see the pathway right through to the first team. And that was their philosophy, you know, was to bring the kids through and try and sell a few on and keep the club surviving that way. So, it worked out brilliant for me in the end.
And you made your debut in 97-98 season against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Can you remember much of that? What was that like, sort of pulling on the shirt for the first time?
I can remember the day before, obviously, I think John Aldridge came up to me and said, listen, you're going to travel with the first team. Wow, scared. So scared to get on that first team bus with everyone. Remember making teas and coffees for all the older pros. And then he said, I think we got to the hotel and he said, right, into the bar. I'm like, what's happening here? And so he said, you can have a couple of pints just to settle your nerves. And I was thinking, having a few pints on a Friday night, this is a bit weird. A few pints, went to bed, and then woke up the next day and I was playing against Nottingham Forest, like Van Hooydonk's. I think Campbell was there at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a unique experience.
Did he say much to you before you went out? You
know? You just go and enjoy it. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, your head's all over the place at that time. So I think the last thing you're thinking of is enjoying it. You just don't want to let anybody down at that time.
What was he like to play for, Aldo? I mean, he's such a legendary player.
Yeah.
What was he like as a manager?
I mean, obviously one of the heroes for my dad, you know, at that time when he was a Liverpool fan. So to play for somebody like that, I think I played in his last game as well, where he scored 2 against Wolves. Just brilliant. So passionate. And he was great for me, like I said, because I had issues on and off the pitch, and he was very patient with me, and I'm hoping he's seen a bit of me in him in terms of how fiery a character he was and how much he wanted, you know. Yeah. So I think that worked in my favour, and, you know, I owe him a lot, to be honest with you, definitely.
Was he sort of kicking things and throwing teacups?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of teacups flying around that, believe me, there was.
I guess sometimes you need that, don't you, as a player?
Yeah, I think you do need that little shock. I mean, I don't know how much that goes on now, but yeah, I think it can work. Definitely every now and then, a little teacup flying past your head, it certainly wakes you up, definitely.
It doesn't sound like he changed much from when he was a player, to be fair. And your time at Tranmere, I mean, Tranmere Rovers fans listening to this will look back so fondly on those cup runs and those shocks and the great games. I mean, for example, the Everton game. when Evertonians won't thank me for mentioning this, but how big a result was that in the club's history?
Oh, it was massive. I mean, we used to have, like you said there, we'd done really well in our cup games. And whoever came to Prenton Park, or if we went away, we kind of steps up our game. And obviously going to Goodison Park and coming away with a massive win, it done us the world of good, to be honest with you. And I think we got clapped off that day by Everton fans, which kind of shows how good we played that day, which was nice.
And you missed the Liverpool game, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I think I might have been suspended, shock there. Which was a shame.
But you must have been gutted to not get the chance to play a home game against your boy club.
Home game against some of the heroes that you used to watch and idolised. And obviously to miss that kind of game was heart-wrenching. You know, it certainly was. But thankfully we played enough bigger games along that season to make up for it.
Well, the obvious sort of run to mention is that run to the Worthington Cup final in 2000. And at what point did you start thinking we can do this? You know,
it was very very strange. We played some big teams, managed to get the roll of the green, get some decent results. Then I think we pulled Bolton. I think in the semi final, it was
right,
two legs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there was a bit of rivalry between the both of us at that time.
And of course, Sam and John get on famously.
That's what
well,
I mean.
Don't they?
There was a bit of rivalry was to say the least. But I think we got a 1-0 win where I managed to score away, which set us up nicely at home. I think I missed that game. Me and Gareth Roberts missed the home game, but then it went on to absolute riot that game. I think 3-4-0 I think in the end, wasn't it?
And to get to the final,
yeah. I mean, Tranmere in the final of the League Cup was something unheard of at that time.
And so you're in a showpiece Wembley final. How are you feeling? You're playing Leicester, but you are it's little old Tranmere, isn't it? You know, the underdog massively.
It is. Leicester are a good team. You know what I mean? Really well. Obviously, you go into the old Wembley, 80,000 people there. All your family are there, ready to watch you. I mean, if I'm being honest, I was a young kid there. Maybe the whole occasion got to me a little bit before the game and during the game. And it was, as good as a time it was a dark moment for me as well, because obviously the red card and the sending off really hurt me at that moment in time.
What did you feel when you saw that? I mean, it's the game of your life, isn't it? So you see the referee pull out the red card.
Yeah.
You're
playing at Wembley. You know what I mean? That, how good a chance is that as a young kid to go and play football? Then you see the red card and it's a total devastation. You know, I mean, I was sat in that dressing room for it felt like an eternity and just thinking, I think this should be it now. I mean, just give it up, because I was going through a wretched time at the time with my discipline. I think, what are you doing? You know what I mean? How can you control this aggression that's coming out of you? And I spoke to my mum and dad after that, and we had a good conversation. I think I went to actually see a psychologist at the time. I think John put me in touch with somebody just to try and get the emotion and how to control it. And to be honest, that worked for me.
Was it an anger management thing?
Yeah, it was. I just think it was. I wanted to win so much, you know what I mean? Because I came up through the club, and I felt like it was all about, you know what I mean, representing that club and how much it meant to me to win games of football and be out there. And it just tweaked over the edge a few times, to be honest with you. And I did need that counselling at the time.
And so did what did the counsellor do? Just get you to channel your aggression?
Yeah, just to
really
try and picture the moments that you're in and just kind of go through the stages of what you're feeling at that specific time of going into a tackle or before that. And I felt a bit weird at the time, but it certainly helped me out massively.
You know, I mean, sorry to sort of dwell on the sending off in the final, but when it happened, do people speak to you? Do they try and comfort you? Do they think it's best to leave you alone?
But you just feel like you've let everyone down. You know what I mean? There's 40,000 Tranmere fans there. There's your family. It's a unique part of the history of the club. And you just feel hurt and sorry for everybody else. Everybody's coming over and saying, oh, don't worry about it. But it does, it affects you. And the big thing for me was not walking up the steps. I didn't get the chance to walk up those steps, which only hit me probably a year or two after that.
So I always wonder when a player gets sent off in a big game like that, and you go and sit in the dressing room, does anyone come in after you?
No, you're there. It's a lonely place.
So because I would have thought someone on the bench would go, hang on, we better go and check if he's okay, you know. So they just leave you there.
You just left there, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think it's best. You know, the last thing you want is somebody just you know, I mean, crying over your shoulder saying, don't worry about it. I mean, it's only a game. It's more than a game at that moment in time. You know, you feel like you let a lot of people down. And you just kind of want to just sit there in your own little sorry world and just get on with it, really.
And I suppose you don't want to see any more of the game anyway, do you, really?
No.
Though you want your teammates to do well.
The weird thing is that you can hear cheers and you can hear people stamping on the stands and you think, is that us or is that them? And you don't quite know what the score was until people come in. You know, because you're not allowed outside that dressing room. So it's a weird place to be.
I can't imagine what it must be like, actually. Another Tranmere game that I always remember from that sort of era is the Southampton game. Mm. The 4-3, I think Stuart Barlow, wasn't it, who scored at the end there. You were injured. Were you injured for that game or suspended?
We played... No, I wasn't suspended for this one, which is a shock. It's a shock, isn't it? I think we went down to Southampton, we got a 0-0 draw, but I came off with a knee injury, I think, halfway through that game. And sadly, I missed that epic game at Prenton Park, you know, which will go down in history as one of the best cup games.
That's really hard, I imagine, to watch a game like that from the sidelines as well.
Especially when it's going wrong, and then all of a sudden it all just kicks in, and then the right result comes at the end, and everybody's going nuts, and there's a little bit of you going, oh, I'm gutted I missed that.
Yeah, sure. And then you went to Oldham, didn't you, 2002.
Yeah.
How did that all sort of transpire, and how hard was it to
fight? It was hard. It was hard to leave because, I mean, I signed a 4-year deal when I first broke into the city, or second year I broke into Tranmere, and nothing ever came up. There was no renewal. There wasn't even any talk about it. I felt a little bit strange. I was captain of the team, and if they did offer me anything, I would have stayed, but it just never materialised. And sometimes you just get a little feeling that, okay, it's time to move on. Mm. And lucky enough, Ian Dowie and Oldham at the time were trying to build something. They had good investment and they were trying to get into the league above. So I felt it was a good move for me at the time. Unfortunately, I think I broke my leg about 12, 13 games into that season. And I think we just missed out on the playoffs that year.
You scored against Tranmere, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I did, yeah. Very weird.
Did you celebrate?
I did a little bit, yeah. I think that was just, again, that was just frustration of leaving the place and not really being offered anything to stay. And I think in the back of my mind, I think I got a half bad reception from the Tranmere fans when I stepped out on the pitch in that blue shirt. So that was in the back of my head as well. And just all the emotion just came out, you know, once you score a goal and all that emotion came out. And yeah, I did regret it in the end, to be honest with you. I did.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating a goal, is that? I think it's a bit odd when people do all this where they put the hands behind the back and they don't celebrate
at all. I think if you've been at that club for a significant amount of time and you've been through so much, then there is that little bit of respect. If you have been there for maybe 12 months and you're a fly-by-night player, then yeah, go ahead. But yeah, I think a little bit more if you've played for a long time.
But it is instinct to a certain extent,
certainly
isn't it?
And
the broken leg that you mentioned there, obviously that's a low point. And you talk about the psychology in sport. How hard is it to come back from a broken leg? Because you must be worried about it happening again.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite a bad one. I think I had 8 pins and a couple of plates, which are still in there to this day. I had my ankle pinned for 12 weeks, so I couldn't move that. And that affected me for the next 24 months, I think. I moved from Oldham, went to Stoke the year after. And I think for the next 12 months, I just suffered reoccurring injuries from that broken leg. And like you said there, it's the hardest thing to cope with, especially when you go to a new club and you're out for so long.
Yeah.
It does affect you.
And the rehabilitation, and you're doing it all on your own and all that kind
of thing. It's groundhog day, yeah. It's a real groundhog on your own as well, working on your own some days.
And then you moved to Stoke at the end of that season. Tony Pulis signed you. Now, let's be honest. Let's talk Tony. He's a bit Marmite, isn't he, Tony Pulis? How was he as a manager to play for?
Very disciplined. He knew what he wanted from his teams. And even going back that number of years, I don't think that's changed. You know, it's very defensive-minded. He likes his teams nice and solid, in a good compact shape. And it's funny because you see it evolve and he's still got them same instincts now when he goes to West Brom and teams like that.
Yeah, he... Do you think he perhaps doesn't get the credit he deserves for...
He's done brilliant.
Look what he did at Stoke. I mean, he stabilised Stoke, didn't he? Stoke were always guaranteed sort of mid-table side, and still are, really.
Well, he wasn't... I can remember him leaving the first time, then coming back, and he wasn't a popular figure to come back, which, when you think what he's done there over the years since. I mean, he took them into Premier League, built them into be a Premier League club, very stable, no chance of relegation. And then he left there, and then he's kicked on again with West Brom. So when you think... of the job he's done, and especially in the league he's done it, then he deserves all the credit he can get.
How will the West Brom players be feeling at the moment going through pre-season with him?
Brutal. I think they've got harder as well over the years. I know he likes Austria, and they've got some nice hills to run up there, I believe.
Yeah. Your time at Stoke, I know in the first season, I think you had a problem with injuries. Your second season, you were voted Player of the Year by the fans. So that must have been a big accolade for you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the first year was a write-off. A number of injuries. I had to go back in to correct a few things from my broken leg. And then the second year was a total different kettle of fish. I think I played 40-odd games and everything went well. Played left-back, which was very strange for me at the time. But to get the accolades at the end of the season was a highlight for me.
And the fans, they're a demanding crowd there, aren't they, well? It's a real, real big atmosphere stadium, isn't it? It was the Britannia, I think it's the Bet365 now. So were they quite a tough crowd to play for?
Definitely. I mean, obviously we're probably a bottom middle table championship team at the time, but the expectation was still there. You know, it was a big crowd. They've got a fantastic history as well. So the expectation was there, definitely.
Clint Hill is my guest this evening here on Merseyside Sport. We'll be back with him in a second. Just going to pause for a moment, though, because Liverpool play Crystal Palace tomorrow in the Premier League Asia Trophy in Hong Kong. Kick-off is at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, UK time. Jurgen Klopp's been talking to the media today. He's been saying it's not just about recruiting players this summer, but keeping last season's squad together.
I think about how can we make the next step with the players we had last year? So, and the good news is actually that we didn't lose a player, and will not lose a player we want to keep in this season. And that's very, very good, and the best news actually. So, and then we can see who we can bring in this squad. But I expect a lot of progress from the players, based on the experience from the last years. Last year was good as a group. The last years were good for the individual players because that were the years when they qualified for Liverpool or whatever. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this, but that's what we actually need to do. So we know where our problems were, if you want. We conceded these kind of goals which we didn't like to concede. It was a little bit about concentration, a little bit about focus. It's always discussed like it is quality. It wasn't ever quality. It's kind of the two things I said. Losing a little bit the moment, like second balls after set pieces or things like this. So that's the thing. And if I think about it, I know football doesn't work like this, but we concede 10 goals less. The world looks completely different for us. And that's the first thing we are thinking about. How can we get stronger in this part of the game as a team? And we will see. But I'm really positive about this.
Jürgen, can you win the Premier League this season?
I think the rules are all teams are allowed to win the Premier League, right? So, yes. Then, obviously, it seems to be possible.
There you go. Always a bit of humour there from Jurgen Klopp. And Liverpool have confirmed that Lucas Leiva has today joined Lazio in a permanent transfer. Back to you being a red again, Clint. Lucas has been a great servant, hasn't he?
Great servant to the club. Played a number of roles, never moaned, always give 100%. And he's the kind of players that you want to see at your football club, really.
I was going to say, do most clubs need a Lucas-type figure, really?
I think that everyone loves a skillful player or someone that they can idolise who scores 25 goals a season. But I think you need a few steady eddies in your team, and he certainly was one of them.
And these Premier League trophies that we have now pre-season, they try and hype them up. They try and build them up as much as they possibly can. There's live coverage for all these games. Do they actually matter one jot?
The pre-season games?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, the amount of pre-season games I've watched and sat there and gone, this isn't the best of the games.
They are hard
work,
aren't
they? There is quite a lot. And I mean, I've played in enough of them. I've always felt if there's a bit of competition on it, the games are a hell of a lot better.
But when you're playing in a pre-season game, what's your main sort of thought in your head? Is it don't get injured?
Yeah, don't get injured. And just run around and get fit as you can. Yeah. that's all you really want from me.
I mean, watching that Tranmere-Liverpool game, I think you were there, weren't you, last Wednesday? I watched it and I thought, this is no different from a training exercise. This is actually just a glorified training exercise. Would they not have actually been better just having a training session? I suppose it's good for Tranmere, isn't it? That's the other thing.
I was a little bit surprised because I played in a few games, mainly against Everton when they used to come to Prenton Park. And it's a freebie for Tranmere to go and actually just get amongst them and shake a few up and put a few to the ground and just make it a bit more interesting of a game. But the way the game panned out, they tended just to sit back on the 18-yard box, and it was a bit just keep ball for Liverpool in the end.
It was attack versus defence.
It was a little bit, yeah. And I just, yeah, I felt a little bit sorry for the fans, to be honest. I thought Tranmere would have just maybe give it a little bit more of a go, being that there's nothing on the game, as
yeah,
you say.
Yeah. Back to your sort of career path. So we'll move on from Stoke now, and we'll move down south to Crystal Palace, where you went on loan and then signed permanently at Palace. And, you know, we're talking about characters in Tony Pulis. Right, if we're talking characters, what about Neil Warnock?
Neil Warnock was brilliant. Absolutely. He's probably the main man who gave me my love for the game back, to be honest with you. Like I said, towards the end of Stoke, I was in bits. You know, I had a number of injuries. Nothing was going right. I got the opportunity to go play for Palace on loan, and he just gave me a new lease of life, to be honest with you. A totally unique character. Knew how to get the best out of his players with his man management. And, I thoroughly enjoyed every minute I played with him.
I would imagine he was fairly eccentric, wasn't he?
He was. He's just totally different to any other manager I've played with. And if you ask me what was his unique selling point, I couldn't tell you, because it was just the way he did things on a daily basis that was a little bit different, and certainly got the best out of his players.
You ended up left back at there.
I did,
as well,
yeah.
Didn't you?
So yeah,
you've become a specialist left back, really, aren't you?
I don't know about specialists. They've been caught a lot of things worse than that.
Liverpool still need another left back, as well as a centre half.
Not this fella.
And you actually ended up with him at QPR as well, didn't you, Neil Warnock? I think you ended up, 6 years at QPR? What was it? Was it good to work under him? Because some players, I think, just have managers that they just click with, don't they?
Yeah, and I think he came to the end of his time at Palace. Obviously, he got the job with QPR. My contract finished with Palace. We managed to keep him up the last day of the season at Sheffield Wednesday, which was brilliant. And then Neil gave me the shout and said, "Do you fancy coming to QPR and work with me?" I said, "Yeah, definitely." Jumped at the chance.
And you got promotion in that first season. I mean, promotion to the Premier League, you're always going to be looked on fondly by the fans for doing that. How good was that, Sally?
It was totally unexpected. Obviously, I think they just avoided relegation the season before, bought 15, 16 new players. And for it just to click from the first day, I think we went 18, 19 games unbeaten that first game of the first period of the season. And to actually win the championship was unbelievable. And we had a special player there as well. We had Adel Tarabat, who was a fantastic player for us that year.
And at the end of that season, you're going to get the chance to play in the Premier League. What was that like for you then?
You never think it's going to happen, to be honest with you. I was just the wrong side of 30. And you just think then, I don't think it's going to happen. So to actually experience it and to play against some of the best players in the world was an absolute privilege, really was.
So you've done all that, and then you're back in the Premier League, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to bring discipline back up again, because your first game, I think it was, wasn't it?
Bolton.
Away 4-0?
No, Bolton at home.
Sorry, Bolton at home. You lost 4-0. I think you had a bit of a spat with Petrov.
Petrov, yeah.
So you get sent off in your first game at Loftus Road in the Premier League. What went wrong?
I thought it typical. Typical. Well done, Clint. Well done, mate. That was pure frustration. 4-0 at home in your first Premier League season. And he was a little wind-up merchant as well, if I'm going to be honest. But, unfortunately, I bit at the red mist. And then you just think, right, the Premier League dream's over after 70-odd minutes. So you're obviously devastated again.
Yeah, the psychologist still had a bit of work to do.
Yeah, I just think you're on speed dial.
What was the mood like after you'd lost that game and obviously you'd been sent off in the dressing room sort of thing?
Obviously, such a big build-up going into the first, especially at home with the fans and everything. And to get a thumping like that, especially against Bolton, who maybe wasn't one of the best teams in the league at that time, everybody kind of got a wake-up call. But Neil being Neil, you know what I mean, he kind of put a different spin on it. Came out all positive, and kind of went on a little decent run after that, to be honest with you. Maybe because that's why I wasn't in the team.
But you ended up going on a loan, didn't you?
I went to Forest on loan, yeah. Well, I went out because I wasn't getting the game.
Do you think the sending off had anything to do with it or not? Or was it just you weren't getting in the side?
I wasn't getting in the team, and I think just towards the end of that transfer window, I think Neil brought in about 5 or 6 players. And me being out of the team, they got in, and I couldn't really get back in. So it kind of worked both ways. I went out, I got fit, managed to come back into QPR at the time as well. And them games playing for Forest put me in good stead to come back, really.
And you really built up a partnership with Anton Ferdinand, didn't you?
As well.
Centre-backs work on partnerships, don't they, really? Yeah. How important is that you have a good sort of, you know, partner alongside you?
You do. And the last thing you want to do is chop and change, especially defenders. I know Tony going back to Tony Pulis, hates doing that. You know, he likes to have his back four playing every game if he can. And I'm a big believer in that as well, because you get to know each other. You know each other's weaknesses, you know what you're going to do. And obviously, the more you play together, the better the understanding is.
Do you think that's been, changing the subject slightly, do you think that's been some of Liverpool's trouble then? You know, everyone keeps going on about the set pieces all the time. But Lovren and Matip were actually injured for quite large periods, weren't they, of last season?
And I think they formed up a decent partnership in the end, you know, and to lose that kind of partnership, and as you're saying as well, especially defensive corners and the understanding that they had, it can affect a team, definitely.
The game that you played, you ended up back at QPR, obviously, and as I mentioned there, with Anton Ferdinand, Mark Hughes became the manager. You've been through a few managers.
I've seen a few of them.
What was he like to play for?
It was totally different to what I expected. To be honest, because I played against Mark Hughes when he was a player, and he was a tough, aggressive player. And I heard rumours of him being the same way when he was at other clubs that he managed. And then he came into QPR, and it was a totally different Mark Hughes that I expected. But training, the whole setup, build-ups before games were first class. You know, it was a really eye-opener to see that part of the game. And I really enjoyed the training and everything that him and Eddie put on every day. It was great.
Because he's quite softly spoken, isn't he, Mark?
Yeah.
You know, which for such a tough player, you maybe wouldn't expect.
That's what I mean, because I remember playing against him. He certainly wasn't that soft-spoken when I was playing against him. So, it was a bit of a shock to see that when he walked through the door.
And the game that everyone remembers from that 2011-12 season is the game against Manchester City, where, I mean, there was all kinds of things on this game, wasn't there, at Manchester City? You stayed up, City won the league, Joey Barton got sent off. What was that, you know, Aguero, everyone remembers it. I could go on with all the things that happened. What was that whole thing like?
You know, I think you only realise the kind of game you're involved in is when you step back and watch it, you know, again on TV. Because when you're actually in the emotion of the game and people are just running past you and sideways, you don't really concentrate on the outside things. It's all about on the pitch. But what a game to be involved in the end. Thankfully, it went right for us, because when that goal went in, Aguero, I thought we were down.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that we were safe before that. I think the bench told the front half of the team that don't worry about it, we're up. But the back four didn't know anything about it. So we were nearly hanging ourselves on that floor when that goal went in.
Yeah,
and then 10 seconds later they said, oh, don't worry about it, we were safe 5 minutes ago. And I was like, oh, cheers for telling us that.
I mean, we could probably do another hour on our own on Joey Barton, but what's he like? He's a complex character, isn't he?
I've got a lot of time for him. You know, I've spent a lot of time with him in the clubs that I've been with him, and I see a different side to him that other people do. He's given me a lot of time as well, spoken a lot of times, given some good advice. So I can only speak highly of him. I really can. Obviously, the whole persona of him outside of football is something else. But I can only judge someone how I find them, and he's been brilliant for me.
He seems a clever bloke. You were going on about the anger issues, though. I mean, has he got some? Have you ever spoken to each other about it? Because you've both been through the mill on the field, haven't you, sometimes with losing your temper and the red mist?
He gets disappointed like everybody else. You know what I mean? After that Man City game, he was distraught. He was absolutely distraught. I mean, he was on the bus when we walked on. He wasn't celebrating or anything. He was absolutely distraught the way it went. So he's so passionate. That's the thing. He's so passionate about his football and the way he plays it. And sometimes with passionate players, it can go over the edge a little bit.
It must have been great to see City win the league in the end as a Liverpool fan. And once you knew you were safe, come on, be honest.
Yeah, it was. Now we knew that we were safe. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Especially as when they panned over to, was it Sunderland
yeah,
United?
Sunderland on the pitch, yeah. They looked like, oh, the faces was a picture. Exactly.
Clint, I wanted to talk about some of the opponents that you've come up against down the years. I mean, one of them will be Luis Suarez.
Oof, yeah.
Right, tell me about trying to defend against Luis Suarez.
He was brilliant. He really was. He destroyed me that night at Loftus Road, I think it was. His whole movement, his commitment, his will to win, just everything you want in a footballer, you know. And I thought back when I went home, I thought, oh my God, I've had a terrible game there. Absolute stink, and I was devastated. And then it took me about a day later, and I thought, you know what, he's done that to proper international quality defenders. And I thought, you know, it's just a pleasure to be on the same park as him. And yeah. I thought, if there's one player that you want on your team, he'd be the one. He was absolutely fantastic.
And is it, I mean, because he's had his fair share of bad press yeah. as well. When you did you say anything to each other when you're playing or not?
I was too busy chasing. I was looking at his number nine, I think, to be honest, to be talking to him. But yeah, he's another one who kind of plays on the edge, but he needs that to be the kind of player he is.
Yeah. To watch him,
he was brilliant.
On another planet to
he was
most.
The best. He was the best I've played against in my short Premier League career, for sure.
Really? Did you play against?
Aguero, Tevez's, you know, people like that, Dzeko's as well.
Thierry Henry would have been before
wouldn't he? Yeah, slightly before, but he was just everything you want in a footballer. He had it. It was fantastic.
When you look at someone like Wayne Rooney coming back to Everton, do you think he's still got a lot to give in the game?
I think he has, yeah. I think he has. I think it's a good move for him. I think he needed it as well. Maybe it's just become a bit too stale, a bit easy for him at Man United, and he's going back to Everton now where people will be expecting him to do well. It's his boyhood team. So, yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan, I shouldn't be saying this. So I think he'll do well for them. I really do.
When you are going out on a pitch and you're playing against someone like Luis Suarez or Sergio Aguero or Wayne Rooney, if I was you, well, not if I was you, if I was me, but I was as good as you, I'd still be very, very scared. You just sort of have to use it as a motivation rather than let fear take
you
over.
You do. You have to just, as weird as I said it before, you just have to try and concentrate on your own game and your own game plan as a team. But sometimes you just can't do anything because the players are that good. They really are.
And the Premier League's so big now, I guess you can't start thinking about how many people are watching a game either, can you?
No, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're just trying to concentrate on this fella who's everywhere, you know what I mean? And thankfully, it was a privilege. It really has been to play against some of these players that are, well, Premier League icons, really.
Do you ever watch your games back? You know,
no. No? Never have. I've never watched the Wembley game. Lucky enough, I went back to Wembley with QPR and kind of put those demons to rest by lifting that trophy, but I've not even watched that game. So maybe when I'm old or a little bit older, I should say, and I've got a bit of time in mind, I might watch them back.
Would that be your worst moment of your career, the final and getting sent? It's good in a way to be playing in a final, but then to be getting sent off.
No, definitely. At that moment in my career, it was pure devastation. It certainly was. And it hung around a long time, and to actually put that kind of demon to rest by going with QPR at the new Wembley as well, and walking up the steps, lifting the trophy, it kind of put that whole episode to bed for me, which was good.
What would be the best moment?
I think that there, to be honest with you. Yeah, getting to walk up those steps, and especially with everything that went before it, and to get your club back into the Premier League is something special.
I would imagine playing, you know, Old Firm games and playing for Rangers would be up there, wouldn't it?
Of course
as well?
It would, yeah, of course it would. They were big games for me, but, I mean, everybody dreams of lifting a trophy at Wembley, and for me to actually do that, was very special.
And taking you up to the present day then now, I mean, you haven't got a club at the moment, so what are you doing with yourself?
I'm just trying to keep fit. I really am. I'm working hard. I still feel fit. I still feel strong. I'd love to play for one more year if I can. I really would. So it's sitting tight and trying to be patient, really, and just try and do everything you can to be in the right shape for when the phone does ring.
So you are, in effect, going through pre-season training, but you're having to put yourself through it.
Yeah.
So I would imagine discipline, self-discipline.
Oh, it's murder, yeah, it is.
I'll be honest, I would probably go and get a pie and then go to the pub.
I've had plenty of those thoughts go through my head when I'm running up and down that. Don't worry about it. But it's difficult because I've never experienced it, really. I've always got a group of teammates next to me and we're all kind of pulling through it and trying to get that kind of camaraderie back into your team. So to be doing it on your own is hard, but you know, it's character building, as my dad says.
Well, yeah, that's true. So what are you putting yourself? Have you actually got a program that you? So for example, if you're training tomorrow, what's your pre-season training tomorrow? Well, what will you do?
I mean, I'm trying to go through the one I went the other day. It was kind of 20 seconds on, 20 off for 20 reps. And then I drop down to 15 seconds, 15 off for 20, and I go down to 10, then down to 5. And then I do some 18-yard doggies on a football pitch, probably go through 6 sets of that, and then finish off with a full shuttle run of the football pitch to put me to bed.
Do that most days.
Yeah, it's quite easy, really.
and you, what level do you think you could still play at?
Listen, I'd love to play for Mia. I'm open-minded to what level and what club that would be. So I'm just waiting for that phone call to ring, and wherever it may be, if it's the right place at the right time, then hopefully I can do it, definitely.
Because the sort of Scottish Premier League, or whatever it's called now, what do you think the equivalent is in this country? Because you played at that level very recently.
It's different, because once you put on that blue jersey of Rangers, you're a target, and people play to 120, 130% of their capability. So it's unique. Would Rangers and Celtic get in the top four of the Premier League? I don't think so. I think it's too tough a league. They'd be one of the best supported, probably the top four best supported teams in the Premier League, without a shadow of a doubt. But to be in that top four of the Premier League, maybe a bit too early at the moment.